This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. Great to see you all. You're looking great, as always. I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7, joined by our fearless leader, managing editor of Horns 24/7, Taylor Estes. Taylor, how's it going?
Chip, everything's going well. Football is underway. I don't know how you're really going to see our audience, but, you know, glad that they are listening to us today. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, I know our audience. They're a good looking bunch, you know? I'm doing well. We are in the first week of, well, we're four practices in, let's put it that way. We're four fall camp practices in, scrimmage coming up on Saturday. There is a quarterback battle going on, so the scrimmages take on extra meaning in addition to all the other position battles going on. Steve Sarkisian was asked about all the position battles going on. He said every position. And so these scrimmages are huge, and they're huge for the quarterbacks, Casey Thompson and Hudson Card, trying to separate. And Taylor, we'll just get right into it. I mean, we'll start with the quarterbacks. And I asked Steve Sarkisian after Monday's practice if this was going to be the hardest quarterback decision he's had to make. And he said, as a head coach, yes, this is going to be the hardest decision. I said, what would have been the hardest call you had to make at quarterback prior to this? And he talked about in 2003 at USC, when he and Pete Carroll went with Matt Leinart over Matt Cassel following Carson Palmer's 2002 Heisman Trophy winning year. I think you went to the same high school as Carson Palmer.
His brother. Yeah. Brother I went to the Jordan. Same as Jordan Palmer. Yeah. Who's now does like quarterback camp stuff and everything with the opening in Elite 11 too.
Yeah. You Mission Viejoers.
A lot of football players came out of there. I'll say that.
Right. And so that gives you a little context. And by the way, they picked Matt Leinart over Matt Cassel, and Matt Cassel was still drafted, even though he was never the starter at USC, and he went on to a double-digit year career in the NFL. And Sarkisian said, yeah, I'm pretty proud of Matt Cassel's development. Yeah. I don't know how many coaches can throw that out there. You know,
right.
Oh, I've had Heisman Trophy winners at quarterback. I had a guy who never started a game in college and played 10 years in the NFL. But nonetheless, Taylor, Hudson Card, Casey Thompson, who've looked great through the first four, you know, practices, but no pads. Now, look, you got to connect on passes against air, or there's a real problem. And the team sources I've talked to, the receivers, all the pass catchers on the team are excited because the ball is hitting them right where it's supposed to hit them in stride. That, let's be honest, was a bit of a struggle at times for Sam Ehlinger, especially last year. Passes to wide open guys were a little off or a little behind, even completions, and guys weren't able to keep going for the yards after the catch in stride. And there's a sense that with, you know, both Casey Thompson, Hudson Card, their accuracy is just on point. And we saw that from Casey Thompson last year, 6 touchdowns, no picks, 71% completion rate. And Hudson Card is seen as the better arm, the the more accurate arm, the better spiral, the tighter spiral. Although Peyton Manning threw a flutter ball, so he just went into the Hall of Fame this weekend. But this is where we start to I mean, the scrimmages are the exams. You know, everything else is a quiz or a homework assignment. The scrimmages are the exams, Taylor, and we get the first of two exams on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hearing Steve Sarkisian talk about, you know, the how close his quarterback race is and how he wanted the guys to make it tough on him, and they are right now. But, you know, Chip, we've seen a limited amount of practice thus far, and I think it's fair to say that from our very small sample size, what we've seen of both, I think that Hudson Card has looked a little bit better personally than Casey Thompson at this point. Now, as you mentioned, I mean, it's all going to come down to how these guys perform when it matters most, and what it matters most are the scrimmages. You know, I think I was not necessarily surprised that it's this close. I think most of us expect Casey Thompson probably to have a little bit of an advantage, but to see kind of how Hudson Card is, his poise, everything in practice, that's really the first we've gotten to see of him in a practice setting. We got to see him in the spring game, but, you know, that was a very limited sample size too, you know, not when they're actually going at it, you know, in practice. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen from Hudson Card. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Hudson Card, the ball just comes out of his hand and looks fantastic. It's a, you know, he's got the arm strength to make every throw. It's a perfect spiral. His mechanics are just spectacular. I mean, mm-hmm. You can tell he's been coached up and he doesn't even think about his mechanics. I mean, it's all second nature, and that's great coaching and then a comfortability with his arm talent. And I've said, I would expect Hudson Card to look better in practices with no pads because of that. He's got great mechanics. The question is going to be, how does he handle a dirty pocket? And we have seen Casey Thompson get flush, step up, make passes on the money in game situations. And now it's time for Hudson Card to do that. When he has a clean pocket, he's probably the best quarterback on the team, but you don't get a clean pocket all right. The time. And in fact, that's where you have to protect the football. You still have to make plays. The offensive line isn't going to be able to give you great pass protection every time. And so this is where we have to see how far both of these quarterbacks have come with the comfortability of knowing this offense, because it's a new offense for both. And we saw them both make some really impressive plays in the spring game. And we saw them both make mistakes. Casey threw the pick six that at the end of the half where he got greedy. Hudson Card took too many sacks. So that's where we have to see the improvement. And Steve Sarkisian said, if this was another spring practice, it would have been both of their best spring practices. So that's the progress that Sarkisian wanted to see. And that was after the first practice of fall camp. So the sense is from what I'm getting from teammates is these guys can both sling it. We're probably going to be just fine with either one. And the receivers are excited because they're getting the ball in stride where they can do damage after the catch. And that's in Steve Sarkisian's offense where 60% of the passes in his offense are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage on, you know, slants, screens, you name it. That's where the accuracy has to be for those guys to get the yards after catch. So going into the scrimmage, it's going to be all eyes, all ears on what's going on with those quarterbacks. Now, Taylor, there's a ton of other little nuggets to get to that we've, you know, gleaned and picked up on, and receiver is obviously a hot topic with what's going on because of the emergence of Xavier Worthy and the excitement around him. Now, last flagship podcast, we were joking that maybe we were feeling guilty for talking about him too much without having him, you know, get into pads. And, but when you listen to Steve Sarkisian talking about Xavier Worthy this week, it's more than that. It's more than his speed and separation and hands. It's this kid's grasping the concepts of this offense, and he's earning trust. And that's enormous for a guy who just got here in June.
Right. It's huge. It is. And I one thing I thought was interesting, we learned this, is Xavier Worthy reached out to Steve Sarkisian about coming to Texas after, you know, he got out of his letter of intent there. So he's been wanting this opportunity. And I really wonder how much that, you know, their prior relationship from when Sarkisian was, you know, recruiting him at Alabama, and Xavier Worthy obviously knows what Sarkisian's offenses look like. A part of me thinks that this is him kind of taking the ball and running with it a little bit, because he was given the opportunity to play under this coach. And I think you're kind of seeing that, especially early on. But yeah, we were talking about, you know, if we're overhyping Xavier Worthy at this point, and I think that we're not. You know, I think that if this continues and Texas really does have that threat at receiver that we've been saying they've needed and they've lacked for almost a decade, it seems like. I mean, my goodness, you're just not really hearing of many explosive receivers. I guess the best one would be Devin Duvernay in the last probably 10 years that have come out of Texas. So I think that Xavier Worthy is really taking advantage of this opportunity. Chip, what about you?
Yeah, I think this is the kind of receiver who Steve Sarkisian's had at Alabama. I mean, he's a Jerry Jeudy type of guy, wiry, light, but lightning fast, great feet, runs really good routes, gets instant separation. That's the kind of stuff that Steve Sarkisian can work with. And, you know, as sort of rising and exciting as it is to hear about Xavier Worthy's growth, Sarkisian was asked about Troy O'Meary, and Troy O'Meary was probably, he was the Xavier Worthy of last year's fall camp. He 6'3", 230 pounds. He was like a power forward, grabbing rebounds in every, you know, pass catching situation in fall camp last year until he tore his ACL. And I wrote about this in the Morning Brew on Tuesday, that last year he had Brennan Eagles and Tariq Black he was competing with for the X receiver spot in Tom Herman's offense. And Tom Herman valued having a big receiver at that X position and was committed to it. The slot receiver in Tom Herman's offense tended to be the volume pass catcher. And then the Z receiver was the speed guy to, you know, take the top off the defense, draw attention away from the slot receiver, blah, blah, blah. Well, Brennan Eagles and Tariq Black are gone, and Steve Sarkisian doesn't care about having a big receiver in the offense. It'd be great. And Steve Sarkisian coached Julio Jones with the Atlanta Falcons for 2 years. He knows the value of a great receiver who's also a big target. But Troy O'Meary's coming back from the ACL. He's still wearing a big brace, not a little brace, a big brace on his right knee that kind of goes from the middle of his quad down to his shin. And it's not, I wrote about this on July 29th in the Insider, that he was off, you know, that he was lacking the fire that he had last year. And then Steve Sarkisian talked about it after Monday's practice and said, yeah, he's mentally maybe not trusting that his knee is recovered, even though his knee is recovered.
Right.
And so they got to get, he's got to have that kind of faith and belief and cut it loose, because he's competing now with not big receivers. He's competing with Jordan Whittington, Joshua Moore, and Xavier Worthy to be among the top three receivers on the field. And he's got a lot of talent. He's got all 4 years of eligibility remaining. It's not that, you know, panic alarm. This is a five alarm fire. No, it's just a note along the way early in camp, just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it is. And in the brace, when we're talking about a brace, we're talking about one of the largest leg braces I've seen probably at a skill position player have to wear. And Chip, you know, before Chip and I started recording our podcast, we kind of brought this up, but I would imagine having a size of brace that he has on his leg that goes basically looks like it goes almost from his hip all the way down to his ankle. That has to have some sort of mental effect on you a little bit, you know, because you're already kind of favoring the leg. You're favoring that injury because it was in fall camp. It was the first week of fall camp, you know, that he did injure it last year. And I think that, you know, like, I'm not trying to make excuses for him not kind of being back up to speed, I guess you could say, but it would be really hard, I think, for anybody to have to wear that every single day and not have it get in your head a little bit. Because again, when we're talking about a massive brace, this is a massive brace. I mean, it looks like a mummy wrap all the way up his leg pretty much. And it's substantial. I really do wonder, Chip, how much that is making it a little bit even more difficult for him to kind of get back into the groove and, you know, have that confidence like he did before he had that ACL injury last year.
Well, the other thing I'm hearing is that the attention to detail is not where it should be in terms of his route running, in terms of just the, you know, the technique, because Steve Sarkisian is a technician, and you heard Sarkisian, he said this many times, and I think the players have to, he said, our receivers have to understand things from a conceptual standpoint of what we're trying to do in the offense, because there are option routes and they have to know what the other receivers, where they are, what routes they're running, to know what option route to run, depending on what they're seeing from the defender in conflict in an RPO or from a press coverage standpoint. Am I getting leveraged inside or outside? Where can I beat this guy? Oh, wait, is that going to interfere with the route of the guy outside of me or the guy inside of me? And all of that has to be processed. And you're hearing Sarkisian say that Jordan Whittington is processing it all. And you're hearing now that Xavier Worthy is processing it, that because of his tight recruiting relationship with Xavier Worthy and his mom when he was at Alabama, that Xavier Worthy was one of those guys that wanted to know about the offense he was going to play in. And he knew what kind of offense he'd be playing in under Sarkisian. So he came in knowing that he was going to have to pick it up fast, and he has. And so it doesn't sound like Troy O'Meary is there yet at all, mm-hmm. from a processing conceptually what needs to be done. And then it's not showing up in the technique or the route running. And that's probably the bigger question for me, is, okay, where's the fire? Where's the fire that clearly was evident last year when he was competing with Brennan Eagles and Tariq Black, because he can look out there and see there's no one who looks like me in the receiver line. I'm the mismatch. I'm the guy. I'm 6'3", 230. Julio Jones is 6'3", 230. But it's more than that. You can look great coming off the bus. We've seen that 1,000 times.
Right.
But in this offense, you got to have the details down, because you heard Joshua Moore say after one of the fall camp practices that the way the offense is drawn up, there should be one receiver wide open on every play. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that and how important your role is in that, even if you're not the one getting the ball, well, only the people who understand that and value that are going to be on the field. And it sounds like Joshua Moore, Jordan Whittington, Xavier Worthy understand it and are making big gains in processing everything. And Troy O'Meary's got to pick it up. So, you know, this is where you look at the receivers coach, Andre Coleman, and say, okay, you got to get it out of them. You got to get that out of them. All that talent, all that, you're going to have to be the one to make sure he's understanding everything he needs to understand and is ready to go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is going to be a situation where I think you're going to see a lot out of Andre Coleman as a coach. You know, I think he's done a really good job so far at Texas, you know, one of the few coaches that was retained by Steve Sarkisian. But, you know, he's got to get Troy O'Meara back to the place that he was in fall camp last year. Because I really do think, you know, Chip, if we're looking at there's a lot of talent at receiver. And I feel like we've been talking about that a lot, yet there's just been a lot of question marks about who's going to be the guys that step up. But the talent is there. And Troy O'Meara is among the top of the talent, in my opinion. I think just as for every, I mean, he's just that the mismatch guy, as you mentioned, you know, but he also was more than that last fall camp from all of the reports we were hearing. You know, it wasn't just the jump ball type of guy, like the jump ball threat in the end zone type of guy. He wasn't just that, it seemed. And so he's got to get back to that. But as you know, Sarkisian's been pretty open all along. And I think a lot of people probably were thinking it may be coach speak, but he's stressed pretty much anytime he's been asked about receivers, about how he's going to put the three best on the field. He doesn't care what they look like. The three best are going to play. And I think that everybody, you know, we've talked about that in depth all off season, because he has mentioned that a lot. And I think the only person that isn't maybe getting that right now is probably Troy O'Meara.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, again, right now, the pads haven't even gone on. They'll go on. The full pads will go on Thursday of this week. We're recording on Tuesday. And that's when Troy O'Meara can flex and use that big body and act like a power forward, grabbing rebounds with that wingspan. And that's when he needs to start dominating. And so we will definitely keep an eye on that. One guy who's not holding back, Taylor, because of a previous injury, according to Steve Sarkisian, is Derek Kerstetter, the super senior right tackle. And it's interesting because Steve Sarkisian admitted this week that he didn't know what the injury was with Derek Kerstetter. He didn't see it. And if, you know, people will remember back to the K-State game, his ankle looked like Dak Prescott's ankle and Conor McGregor's ankle. It was limp and hanging at a 90 degree angle. It was a, you know, clean fracture, and it was horrifying, and he had to have plates and everything put in to repair it, but he's back, and Sarkisian is in awe. You know, he said, "I'm so thankful that Derek Kerstetter is back. His leadership, his tenaciousness, his physicality, it's all appreciated." And so that's good to hear, because I had done a flagship podcast interview with Blake Brockermeyer, the father of Texas linebacker Luke Brockermeyer. And he is, you know, intensely aware of that injury, because one of his other sons, James, had an ankle fracture. And, you know, Blake said it's a year. It's a year long process to get all the stiffness out, get to where you truly feel normal. And of course, that was last November. And so to hear that Derek Kerstetter is cutting it loose and playing at a high level, he is the right tackle right now. And that's going to be interesting, because we'll just get into it. That's where Andre Carrick played after Kerstetter went down and did a really nice job. And what you hear from everyone is that Andre Carrick is going to be a star, that he's nasty. He's a finisher. He's a punisher. And I mean, even Keandre Coburn said that at Big 12 Football Media Days, when he was asked who's the nastiest offensive lineman on the team, he said, Andre Carrick. And he said, and that's my kind of guy. And so, you know, Derek Kerstetter is leading the charge, and it's admirable, because that was a horrifying injury, and yet he's still competing. And so it's going to be fascinating to see how that right tackle position plays out, because I think they like Christian Jones at left tackle, playing next to Denzel Okafor. They had chemistry last year that is critical between the guard and the tackle and the guard and the center. And then it's going to be about Derek Kerstetter holding off the young buck, Andre Carrick, because Carrick is the future. And is Derek Kerstetter strong enough, everything enough to be the guy for one more year at a position that he's clearly more comfortable and more natural at than having to play center, where he was not comfortable. And now Jake Majors has grabbed that job and has looked totally comfortable. So that's a great storyline to watch. And kudos to Derek Kerstetter for working as hard as he's had to work to come back from that ankle fracture and be a factor.
Yeah, because that injury was horrific. I mean, just you could hear him screaming. You know, on the broadcast, you could hear Kerstetter screaming on the field. And, you know, for a football player to get to that point is rare, I will say. You know, I mean, for them to be literally screaming on the field is a rarity. And so it's a great storyline. You're absolutely right. And honestly, I think this is a really good sign probably for the offensive line, because coming out of the spring game, you know, everybody was kind of concerned about the O-line because of how many sacks that they gave up in the spring game. And Kerstetter wasn't really there, you know. So I think that this could, you know, as long as the progression continues, Chip, I feel that this should set some of those concerns that a lot of people had about the offensive line a little bit, give them a little bit of peace of mind, thinking that it may not be as bad off as you saw in the spring game. Because let's be honest, I mean, what was there, 10 sacks giving up total by the one and two O-lines? You know, that's alarming. It's very alarming. But Kerstetter was not in the mix then. He was not playing then. And so just to hear Steve Sarkisian he basically went on like a tangent about like a love song, essentially, about Derek Kerstetter because of how impressive he's been with him, just being, you know, both a leader and for, you know, what he's done on the field. So I really think of, you know, we've talked a lot about some concern at O-line. In my opinion, if Kerstetter continues down this road, I don't think that is much of a concern as maybe we thought it was coming out of the spring game.
Yeah. And the other, you know, nugget that I think is worth noting on the offensive line is Hayden Connor, the freshman, because we noted in the spring that he was getting some reps with the first team, and you're thinking, oh, was somebody missing from practice or what was going on there? And no, I mean, this is a guy who they really like. I mean, they feel like he is a guy who is on the fast track, and I'm hearing, you know, Junior Angelou needs to stay as sharp as possible, because Hayden Connor is a guy who's coming on as a possible guard, certainly rotation with the ones, and maybe even a guy who could challenge all the way in to the starting lineup. Now that's saying a lot, and we haven't even put on the pad, so I don't want to get too far ahead, but the point is, here's a freshman who's getting looks. And when you're a freshman getting looks, I mean, look at Jake Majors and Andre Carrick last year. They ended up in the starting lineup. So you just have to point out when a guy is starting to emerge, separate. And that's really telling to me, because the previous coaching staff was hell bent to get Tyler Johnson up and going. But the problem is, at some point, you got to take over as the player. You know, the coaches can't be pulling it out of you all the time. You got to take over. You've got to say it's mine. And I think that these coaches are only going to deal with guys who are saying that. And so that's a wake up call. It should be a wake up call to guys like Tyler Johnson. And I know Jalen Garth is a guy that, who they love from a physical standpoint. He got chewed out a little bit in day three of fall camp for not listening. Kyle Flood yelled at him, "You're not listening." And Jalen Garth is a guy who just, you know, getting off the bus looks like, you know, what you're playing with in the NFL. But it, again, Kyle Flood is again, I'll refer back to the Blake Brockermeyer flagship podcast interview. One of the reasons we talked to Blake Brockermeyer is because he knew Kyle Flood extremely well, because Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian, recruited, obviously, Tommy and James to Alabama. But in that interview, he talks about how Kyle Flood is one of the offensive line coaches in college football who will coach the independent hands pass protection, which is not, you know, something all offensive line coaches do. And that was a problem for the Brockermeyers with Herb Hand. He didn't teach it. And that's, you know, putting one hand high, one hand low, instead of both hands right into the chest of the defensive lineman, because with, you know, the new speed rushing, the side scissor, the double swipe move that Joey Bosa and Chase Young have brought in, if you put both hands in the chest of a defensive lineman, they're just going to knock you off balance and you're done. So, you know, now it's about being able to punch with one hand, keep the other hand free so that you're able to at least long arm or try to extend your arm to keep that, that pass rusher from getting in on you. So Kyle Flood's a guy who's very demanding. He's a former head coach. And when you're starting to see young guys rise up like Hayden Connor, again, it's worth pointing out.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good sign. And, you know, Chip, on the other side of the ball, I think something that is another good sign for Texas is the kind of transition, but the way that DeMarvian Overshawn has returned back to the field. He's put on, you know, some really solid weight. Steve Sarkisian had pointed that out at the beginning of fall camp, but then we saw, you know, we can see him in person now, and that he looks good. I mean, probably the best I've seen him look since he's been at Texas. And he just seems to really kind of be not even just back to how he was, you know, after at the end of last season prior to having that surgery, but he looks better than I think that we've ever seen him.
Yeah. I mean, God was in a great mood when he put DeMarvian Overshawn together. I mean, yeah. You know, 6'4", 220, and Steve Sarkisian talked about how Overshawn could not put on the weight because he couldn't really get into the weightlifting after the shoulder surgery, and that over the summer he was able to put on weight. Because remember, he was a COVID kid. He didn't come in for the conditioning before last season because of COVID. He came in right as fall camp was starting, and he had to kind of play his way into shape. He didn't get all the strength and conditioning that his teammates got. And so he played last year at, I mean, I was told 212 at times. Mm-hmm. And he's lightning fast, but you got to have some weight to be able to shed blockers and that kind of thing, because in Pete Kwiatkowski's system, DeMarvian Overshawn is an inside, you know, linebacker when they're close to the boundary. And then he's an outside linebacker, and he does it all. I mean, he's going to rush off the edge. He's going to drop into coverage. He's going to play on the inside. And you're right. I mean, when you have an athlete like that and a guy who understands it, picks it up, knows what he's being asked of conceptually, he understands the defense, can communicate it, can get guys lined up correctly. He's not just Agent Zero, flash and no substance. He's substance. And we saw him get better. I mean, I'll never forget. I talked to, you know, Gabe Eichard, former OU offensive lineman, in a radio interview. And he said that they felt like Chris Adamora and DeMarvian Overshawn were guys they could put in conflict in RPOs and take advantage of. And they did. They did that exactly. And Overshawn was a bit of a liability at the beginning of the year. And then he turned in, it just kept coming and coming. You saw the kind of improvement you want to see from an entire team, week to week improvement, to the point where he was making plays all over the place and finished the year as the second leading tackler on the team, 2 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, one fumble recovery, 8 tackles for loss. And this is a guy who was learning on the fly after moving from safety. So this is a guy I think everyone has high expectations for, including himself. And I'm excited to watch the guy because he flies, and that's what you want. If you have an instinctive linebacker who can move, man, they're so much fun to watch because they're getting ahead of the block, and it's like watching Derek Johnson play football, where he knew what was coming before they could even block him. And he would just get to the play before they could form a wall for him. And so they need that obviously, because we're talking about Juwan Mitchell leaving the program, the leading tackler on the team, and forcing others to step up at middle linebacker. And Luke Brockermeyer is a guy who continues to get praise as a guy who just knows exactly what he's doing on every play and is instinctive. He may not be as fast as DeMarvian Overshawn or David Benda, but he's in the right place. He knows how to turn plays back to where they need the tackle to be made and understands that stuff. There are times where the linebacker's job is solely to turn a play back in to the unblocked linebacker. So Luke Brockermeyer understands that. Jalen Ford competing there as well. And Devin Richardson. Devin Richardson is working at both middle and will, but with Will at the weak side linebacker, you've got DeMarvian Overshawn and David Benda. They need Devin Richardson to keep coming at middle linebacker. Same with Jalen Ford. And they might be okay there. So
yeah. And Sark said after Monday's practice, he had a lot of positive things to say, both about Overshawn and Luke Brockermeyer. You know, when he was talking about DeMarvian Overshawn, he felt that, you know, he's really fast and he plays with tremendous instincts. And Sark said he feels that his experience playing safety has probably led to him being such a having such a solid instincts at linebacker. And then, you know, he also was talking about Luke Brockermeyer, middle linebacker, and he kept talking about his instincts, about how he plays smart. He trusts his instincts. He trusts his preparation, and he goes and plays. And in Sark's opinion, he said that's the one of the biggest keys that you could have, or the best traits that you could have, for a middle linebacker. So I think that's kind of interesting to hear that Luke Brockermeyer is coming along so well. Chip, I know we reported it a lot during the spring too, because we were hearing a lot of positive things, but that's another one to kind of watch that may be flying under the radar a little bit right now.
Right. And he's 6'3", 225. You want your middle linebacker right there at 230. I mean, Deli Adeoye is just getting to know these coaches. He missed the spring and then came back to the team, which is, wish he could have figured it out sooner, but he's, you know, they like his size. I mean, Deli Adeoye looks like a Adonis. I mean, he's what you see on the cover of Muscle and Fitness at it's 6'1", 240, got that upside down pyramid upper body, and he's thick, and they like his fit, you know, how physical he is. They just need him to, and he's twitchy. He just needs to process better so that he's playing faster, because he's not playing to his size and speed, you know, and that's just, you can't have that, especially at middle linebacker. So hopefully the light goes on. I've talked about this a million times. Brandon Jones, the 5-star safety, was lost really his first 2 years at Texas. And then his junior year, it all clicked and he was an animal. He was everywhere. He's the leading tackler. The light goes on at different times for different players. And when it goes on, it can be wow. I think we saw that with DeMarvian Overshawn last year. Hopefully it happens for Deli Adeoye in this scheme with really good coaches who are really good teachers. I mean, that's the one thing everyone has told me about Pete Kwiatkowski, is that he is such a good teacher. His players will not be out of position. They will not blow assignments, because he will make sure that the guys on the field totally understand every situation they're in. So there's some linebacker talk. And real quickly, in the defensive backfield, Steve Sarkisian said, yeah, we're cross-training Jaron Thompson at safety and nickel. And to me, that means a couple things. They may not be totally ecstatic with what's going on at nickel, and Jaron Thompson is a really talented football player. Is going to be a star at Texas, no matter where he lines up, because he's just that smart. He's that much of a leader. But it also means they must feel good enough with BJ Foster that he and Brendan Schooler could, you know, and BJ Foster is a really good football player. He's had to battle injuries. He's gotten down on himself. He's gotten frustrated. He's felt like the previous coaching staff made stuff personal and he didn't vibe with that. And so, you know, I'm hearing that, that BJ's engaged. He's getting after it. And so there would be worse things than having, you know, two veterans back there and Brendan Schooler, who's lightning fast, and BJ Foster, who's a thumper, with Jaron Thompson at nickel, because that's a lot of experience. Well, not Jaron Thompson, but that's a lot of experience at safety.
Yeah, no, it is. And you're right. BJ Foster is an outstanding football player. You saw it, you know, his first 2 years, his first two seasons when he was at Texas. I mean, the flashes are there. I also think that honestly, the change in coaching staff, it impacted him and Caden Stearns a lot prior to the 2020 season when Tom Herman got rid of, you know, his first coaching staff pretty much at Texas, because those guys, you know, the defensive backs coaches with Jason Washington and Craig Kniver were really two of the better coaches on that staff, and they both got let go. And I think that
probably
really
two of the best recruiters. So they were the coaches that the players knew the best from even before getting on campus.
Yeah. And so those relationships were gone, and that really, it impacted Caden Stearns substantially. It impacted BJ Foster. I'm eager to see what BJ Foster can do now, you know, after he kind of has a little bit of a fresh start with this coaching staff and not having, you know, the as you mentioned, they were, some of those coaches last year made things personal on the guys, you know, calling them wussy with a P that starts it, you know, I mean, things like that, like that was common. And that's not necessarily how Steve Sarkisian's staff has kind of come in and handled it. They've kind of taken a more, you know, the culture is going to come naturally. We're not going to force it down your throat. And I think that could be good for a player like BJ Foster that was kind of lost in the mix last year. And, you know, at one point even left the team, you know, for after that, at halftime of the UTEP game. But I think that could be key for him. And I'm eager to see what type of, you know, opportunity or what type of reaction he has to this new opportunity of the staff.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I continue to hear really good things about Keaton Crawford. And his physicality, you've got some really interesting young guys in that secondary, you know, JD Coffey, and now Ishmael Ibrahim is on campus, and wow, is that kid a good looking specimen? I mean, you know, he's 6'1", but he's long, and, he's number 18. I was like, Who's 18? Oh, that's, or 19. Sorry.
19. I'll say 18 is Ovia Gofu.
Yeah. 18 is also a good looking specimen, but yeah, Ishmael Ibrahim, number 19. You know, we'll see. He doesn't even know where the bathroom is at this point, but you know, he sure looks the part, and Keaton Crawford is a guy who's making plays. So, lots of fun seeing where the secondary can go, because I love me some Deshaun Jameson and Josh Thompson, but those guys are moving on after this season. So they got to have their next wave ready to go. And so Taylor, before we get to Love It or Leave It, I know we always call Cameron Dicker the kicker, but it's looking more and more like he might be Dicker the punter and Dicker the kicker. We'll see how this plays out, but he's clearly been the better punter and the first team punter through the first 4 days of fall camp. And he's, you know, he averaged 43.3 yards per punt. You'll take that. That's excellent. Now Ryan Buchevsky, averaged 43.6, and Buchevsky's coming off the ACL tear, didn't you know, was kind of limited in spring. And so now is when Bucevski really needs to make the move. And as of right now, it's still Cameron Dicker.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we watched them in punting drills and there was no question who was the best punter out there. And it was not Bucevski.
Yeah. In fact, Isaac Pearson, the other pro kick Australia punter who came in, of course, Ryan Bucevski is a first cousin of Michael Dixon, the former punter, now pro bowler with the Seattle Seahawks. He came in from pro kick Australia and so has Isaac Pearson. Isaac Pearson was probably the second best punter in day three of fall camp when we were able to watch them do the full blown punt team. And one quick note on that punt team, the first team gunners were Keelan Robinson. Josh Moore. And so I'm like, is this an experiment or is this something, you know, we're going to see, but Keelan Robinson, I mean, and look, Jeff Banks, I've said Jeff Banks is a mad scientist and his special teams, everywhere he goes, his special teams get better. And Kelvonte Dixon was also a gunner with Keelan Robinson once. Little Kelvonte Dixon. So they want speed. I mean, they want guys who are going to go down the field and be willing to make a tackle. Because remember Chris Boyd, he was about as good as there was, you know, at getting down the field, downing punts.
Well, Josh Thompson, let's not forget him. He was, especially when Dixon was there. I mean, he was one of the best ones I think I've seen so far at Texas.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, is this for real? Like,
yeah,
normally you have defensive guys cause they can go down and blow people up on their way to the ball carrier. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Just a little nugget early in camp. It could have been just like for fun, but
throw off all the media that was watching there. Like, what the hell?
let's take them.
Let's hear them talk about this and then we'll laugh at that later on.
All right. You ready for some love it or leave it?
Yeah. But before we get to love it or leave it, we're going to take a really quick break, but you want to stick around because we will have some more headlines coming out of fall camp in love it or leave it, including the latest with the Texas quarterback battle. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Chip, you ready for some love it or leave it?
I am ready.
All righty. My first one for you is love it or leave it. The biggest storyline through the first 4 days of fall camp is wide receiver Troy Omiri possibly not trusting that his right knee is healthy.
You know, I'm going to leave that as the biggest story. It's a story, but I don't think it's the biggest story. I think the biggest story is the emergence of Xavier Worthy. I know we've talked about Xavier Worthy a lot from summer workouts, but it's a whole nother thing to hear Steve Sarkisian talk about a true freshman who's processing the entire concept of the offense, running great routes, and looking like the kind of receivers that Sarkisian had at Alabama, like Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy. I'm not going to say Devontae Smith, because that guy just shattered all the records and won the Heisman Trophy. But the kind of speed and electricity that Steve Sarkisian's used to at the receiver position, that's huge. I mean, and we know that Sarkisian does a great job of getting guys in matchups that they can win and gets them the football. So that to me is huge for this offense, because let's be honest, Jordan Whittington is a little bit like Jordan Shipley. I mean, we just haven't seen him dominate for an entire season. We saw him with 10 catches against OU, and then he was gone again. And Josh Moore led the team in receptions last year, but it wasn't, you know, they weren't eye popping numbers. And so if you can get that kind of speed on the field and have that kind of sort of maturity from a football standpoint, football IQ standpoint from Xavier Worthy, to me, that's probably the biggest story. I mean, everyone's going to say, what about the quarterback battle? Okay. Yeah. There's a quarterback battle going on, but we don't know who's the quarterback yet. That will be the biggest story of fall camp. Don't get me wrong, but through the first 4 days of fall camp, I think it's Xavier Worthy. How about you, Taylor?
You know, I'm going to leave it, but I'm going to go with, you know, we're talking about the quarterback. So I'm going to say that I think the biggest storyline is probably the fact that from what we saw, I mean, it's again, pads aren't on. So I'm going to be cautious in what I say here, but from what we have seen so far with Hudson Card and Casey Thompson, that Hudson Card was toe to toe, if not better than Casey, and making a lot of the throws that we did see him make in practice when we've been able to go out there. I think that's probably the biggest storyline right now. However, I would say my 1B is probably Xavier Worthy, because, you know, we've talked about him in depth on the flagship podcast leading up to fall camp, and we're, you know, cautious not to overcook it a little bit and wondering if we may be overcooking it, but clearly I don't think that we were. So I think that's definitely 1B, but I'm going to say the quarterbacks I think that's going to be the biggest storyline, honestly, of all of fall camp until a starter is named.
Yeah. I mean, it's the every, you know, that's the story that leads every sports cast. It's the story that leads most all of our notes, because it is so significant. The good news is that both quarterbacks are putting the ball on the money and seem to understand the offense. I mean, this really is going to be a tough call for Steve Sarkisian, and he's made tough calls before. And with Matt Leinart, he picked the younger quarterback over the veteran Matt Cassel. And at Alabama last year, he picked the veteran Mac Jones over the young gun, you know, Bryant Young. So I think it's going to be fascinating. And the good news for Texas is they've got two really talented quarterbacks. Okay, Taylor, love it or leave it, number two.
All right, love it or leave it, number two is the story flying under the radar right now is how quickly freshman offensive lineman Hayden Connor is moving up the depth chart. Love it or leave it.
Okay. You know, I think I can love that. I can love that. My mind flashes over to Jaron Thompson and just how versatile that kid is and how talented he is. But we knew that. We knew Jaron Thompson was talented, and even the previous staff thought Jaron Thompson was going to be a star. I think Hayden Connor, being a guy who can challenge into the two deep, is a surprise to Texas fans. And and they are probably going, wait, who? Hayden who?
Right.
And so I'll love this. I'm going to give the big guy you know, the big fellas, the trench monsters. Some love here, Taylor. I'm gonna love this, that Hayden Connor moving up and challenging into the two deep at guard is the story that's flying under the radar right now. How about you?
Wow, this is a tough one because, I think I'm going to have to love it because it definitely has flown under the radar. And plus, like, you know, offensive linemen, big guys need love too, and they don't get as much love as a lot of the you know, players that aren't linemen. I think I'm going to love it. The only other thing I was going to say is probably the fact that it's probably not the most significant story that's flying under the radar, but I think that Cameron Dicker, the punter, as we talked about earlier in the show, I think that his whole possibly pulling, you know, punting and kicking duties, at least early on in fall camp, is probably flying under the radar. That may be intentionally flying under the radar because, you know, Bushevsky hasn't still, you know, is coming back from injury. There's still kind of like unknown there. So I was going to say that, but no, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give it to the big guy, Hayden Connor, because that's definitely, you know, it's a rarity when you hear a freshman kind of pushing veterans for, or, you know, guys with experience for starting roles, offensive line, especially the main one, you know? And so I think it's surprising. So maybe it should get a little bit more attention right now.
Well, and we'll throw in some honorable mentions. How about this? Terrence Cooks, who DeMarvian Overshawn called TK the other day, which threw me off. I'm like, I went up to John Bianco, the you know, sports information director, and I said, "Hey, who's TK?" He's like, "That's Terrence Cooks." Not quite sure why they call him TK, but Terrence Cooks, the 6'2", 210-pound linebacker in the 21 class, the freshman, looking good, and Morris Blackwell as well, linebacker from Arlington Martin, earning some praise from veteran teammates. So keep an eye on those two. And I'm excited to see those guys because they move really well. And it's clear that they've got a lot of speed coming in at linebacker. All right, Taylor, love it or leave it, numero tres.
Number three for you is love it or leave it. The team goes full pads on Thursday, and that's when the QB battle between Casey Thompson and Hudson Card really begins.
I think so. I mean, look, I'm not in the meeting rooms when they put these guys on the whiteboard. I'm not sure who's killing it on the whiteboard or when coaches just fire off a question like we're going to see in Hard Knocks with the Cowboys on HBO starting this week. But I do know that when the pads come on and the pocket is either clean or dirty, to me, that is going to determine who wins this quarterback job. Because again, I've said, if Hudson Card played out of a clean pocket every time, he'd be the guy. But Casey Thompson's been a really good second reaction quarterback. When the pocket's broken down in the Alamo Bowl, he stepped up, slid, found Cade Brewer down the field, stepped up, hit Kelvonte Dixon for a 70-yard touchdown. And Hudson Card, the knock on him coming out of the spring was he was taking too many sacks and not stepping up, and at times going out the back of the pocket, which is the worst mistake a young quarterback can do. Sam Ellinger did that a lot. Johnny Manziel did it his whole time at A&M and got away with it because he was so fast. But good Lord, you can't go out the back of the pocket. Now you're 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So that's the kind of stuff. How much have these quarterbacks grown and gotten comfortable with the offense so that when things break down, they're still able to make the play? And so, yeah, I'm going to love this. How about you, Taylor?
Yeah, trying to decide when the full pads go on. I definitely think that's the start. I think it really begins probably scrimmage number one. But I think that'll be more of the test, you know, the first test of the quarterback battle. So yeah, you know, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to love it and say that, you know, when the team isn't full pads, that's definitely when the battle begins. But I really do think that the biggest start of the battle is probably going to be on Saturday when they have their first scrimmage.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what, kids? We'll be back next week to tell you all about what happened in that first scrimmage. Have all the details. Keep your focus right there on Horns 24/7 for all the latest intel as these Longhorns prepare for Louisiana on September 4th. I mean, we are less than, we're like 3 weeks from the start of the football season, which is simply fantastic. And as far as we know, everyone's going to get to go to the games. And I know I have my flight to Fayetteville, Arkansas, so I'm hoping like crazy I have a place in the press box. But until next time, for Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. We'll see you over on Horns 24/7. And until next time here on the Flagship Podcast, stay safe and keep the faith.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.